this is your Polycast for Monday, August 25th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. On today's edition, mining is an issue in the U.S. Senate race, and St. Paul tries to raise some tobacco prices. The voting ends today for state-subsidized personal care assistants who are deciding whether to form a union. Tim Pugmire reports.
An estimated 27,000 in-home health care workers were eligible to vote this month on whether to have collective bargaining representation from the Service Employees International Union. The State Bureau of Mediation Services will count the ballots on Tuesday. Union opponents tried to stop the election from moving forward, claiming an infringement on their rights of free political expression and association. But a federal judge denied their request for a preliminary injunction last week. He said the legal challenge was premature because the outcome of the vote is unknown. A state law enacted in 2013 authorized union elections for both PCAs and in-home child care providers. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
The city of Minneapolis is expected to pay more than $100,000 to settle personal injury claims in two cases involving the city's police department. Brant Williams has that.
In one case, a 15-year-old girl alleges she was beaten up by two police officers in March of 2013. The girl's mother filed a civil suit in federal court, which was settled earlier this week for $22,500. Minneapolis City attorneys also agreed to pay $40,000 to a man who resigned from a police training program in 2007. The man sued the city, claiming a police supervisor made defamatory statements about him and ruined his chances of getting hired by another police department. In a third suit settlement, the city is set to pay a man $18,000 after an employee in a city vehicle rear-ended the man's car. And attorneys agreed Minneapolis should pay $28,000 to three women injured when a car they were riding in collided with a city recycling truck 4 years ago. The city council has to sign off on the payments. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Housing and government leaders will break ground today on an affordable housing development along the Green Line light rail line in St. Paul. Laura Ewan has more.
The end of the automobile era on University Avenue doesn't get more symbolic than this. Project for Pride and Living is building a transit-oriented development on the site of the former Midway Chevrolet used car lot. The complex will be called Hamlin Station in honor of the light rail stop across the street. The nonprofit developer's executive director is Paul Williams, the city's former deputy mayor. He says the $28 million development will help lift the economically challenged area.
It's actually going to be a very striking project, which is going to send, I think, a statement to the marketplace and to the neighborhood about kind of the quality and what's possible here. So we really view it as a catalytic project.
Hamlin Station will include retail and more than 100 rental units, including supportive housing for the formerly homeless. Laura Ewan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Copper nickel mining on the Iron Range is an issue in the Minnesota U.S. Senate race. For almost a decade, PolyMet has been seeking permission to open a mining operation near Hoyt Lakes. Republicans are blaming Democrats for the slow regulatory process. Most Democrats say they support the proposed mine, but they want to ensure that it doesn't cause pollution. Mark Zedeklik has more.
A central theme of Republican Senate candidate Mike McFadden's campaign is that Senator Al Franken, President Obama, and other Democrats are strangling the nation's economy by overregulating businesses. If the government would lighten up, McFadden argues, the economy would take off. On the national level, McFadden cites the Keystone Pipeline as a job-creating project that should have proceeded by now. Locally, he singles out the proposed PolyMet copper nickel mine as an example of a project the government is needlessly delaying. He pressed the point during his national Republican rebuttal to President Obama's weekly radio address earlier this month.
Whether it's the PolyMet mine in Minnesota or the Keystone Pipeline, there are good-paying jobs waiting to be created if we just use more common sense and regulation.
PolyMet says if it's allowed to open the mine in northeastern Minnesota, it'll spend almost $500 million on construction, and after that, employ 360 people with what it calls high-quality, stable mining jobs. After visiting the proposed site last week, McFadden said if he's elected to the Senate, he will immediately direct the Environmental Protection Agency and other federal agencies to expedite the approval process for the mine. McFadden says it's crazy that several different agencies are responsible for making the decision.
The idea that it's taken 8 years and $200 million and we don't have an answer is the definition of being unduly burdensome.
And McFadden accused Franken of not supporting PolyMet's effort and instead pandering to environmentalists who oppose it.
I support the mines. I will get these mines open. I will work hard to do that. Senator Franken has been in Washington 6 years. He's not done anything actively to get these mines open.
I guess my response is that this is the right way to do it.
Franken says he talks with PolyMet officials all the time and that the permitting process has not been unnecessarily arduous.
You don't approve a project before all the agencies say, yeah, this works. And I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to get there. But I think it's irresponsible to say something like this could have been done, years ago.
And Franken says just ask PolyMet. The company will tell you the regulatory process is working.
My name is Brad Moore. I'm Executive Vice President for Environmental and Government Relations for PolyMet Mining.
Moore says PolyMet will not get involved in political battles such as Minnesota's Senate race. But he adds that since the mine project was first proposed, Republican and Democratic elected officials on the state and federal levels have been supportive.
It has been a very long process, typically is in America, but in going through that process, the project has improved. The environmental compliance or environmental impacts are lessened. And as a result, we are going to be sure to meet all state and federal requirements in order to actually operate the mine.
The PolyMet proposal is complicated. Among other things, it involves a land swap with the U.S. Forest Service. Moore says the scope of the project requires involvement from many state and federal government agencies.
We have been pleased with the level of coordination between the agencies. They're appropriately tough on us, but they've also been fair.
As for McFadden's promise to direct federal agencies to fast-track permitting for PolyMet, Al Franken says senators lack that power and that McFadden would have a tough time keeping that campaign promise.
I don't think he actually can do that, first of all. So, I think we do need someone in the Senate who knows how things work.
But with hundreds of jobs at stake, McFadden is likely to keep talking about PolyMet, trying to make DFLer Franken play defense in an area of the state where Democrats traditionally count on lots of support at election time. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The St. Paul City Council votes this week on a proposal to restrict the sale of low-priced cigars. Supporters say the proposed ordinance will help keep tobacco out of the hands of kids, but business interests in the city say it'll drive legitimate customers to other cities. Brooklyn Center became the first Minnesota city to pass a similar regulation earlier this year. Curtis Gilbert has a story on how it's working.
Tiara Brown just popped into Brooklyn Center's Royal Tobacco Shop for some Swisher Sweets.
But y'all have a sale right now, $3 for a 5-pack, right?
It's actually $4 today. The store can charge whatever it wants for a 5-pack, but that's not the case anymore for single cigars and cigarillos. They used to go for 50 cents or a dollar. Now, if they're in packs of four or less, the minimum charge is $2.10 per cigar. The ordinance took effect in June, and store owner Mike Wazwaz says it's killing his business.
We lost about, 20,000 in sales a month.
And Wazwaz says it's not just tobacco retailers who are suffering.
For me, it's just a tax on poor smokers. Rich smokers can afford to smoke in Brooklyn Center. The poor smokers cannot.
The ordinance was crafted to target a specific type of low-income smoker, children. Police Commander Tim Gannon says before the ordinance change, cheap cigars were way too accessible for young smokers.
And I've seen this in my own work throughout the city. I've seen people come in of age because they're purchasing in front of a police officer, but they simply throw down change on a countertop. And they have enough change in their pocket to buy a single cigarillo. And I just wonder where that cigarillo ends up at. Does it go out to somebody maybe younger that can't afford more expensive cigarettes?
The cigar wrappers can also be used to smoke marijuana. Cigarillos are smaller and much cheaper than traditional premium cigars, and they're less regulated than cigarettes. For instance, cigarillos and other small cigars come in a variety of fruity flavors, including pineapple, kiwi, and tropical fusion. The federal government banned most flavored cigarettes in 2009 because they were deemed too attractive to children. but it made no such rule for cigars. And while cigarette smoking is declining among middle school and high school students, cigar smoking isn't. A survey from the state health department found cigars are now almost as popular among underage smokers as cigarettes, and cigar smoking rates are dramatically higher among children living in poverty. St. Paul has required cigarettes to be sold in packs since 2006. Prior to that, some stores would let you buy them one at a time if you wanted. Alicia Leisinger, with the Ramsey Tobacco Coalition, says the proposed cigar ordinance follows the same logic.
Kids can't just dig in their couch cushions for that 50 cents or that dollar that they might have. It means that they have to commit to, you know, $5 or $6 to be able to purchase these products.
Business groups are trying to block the proposed ordinance. Matt Kramer is president of the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce. He says the policy won't help St. Paul kids, just retailers in other cities.
This creates an enormous unfair playing field where if you are on one side of a city street, let's say city of St. Paul, and the other side is Maplewood, Roseville, Minneapolis, all of a sudden two retail establishments that might be 50 feet apart have different processes for how they can sell something. That's not a very effective way to regulate commerce.
Brooklyn Center's experience lends support to Kramer's argument. Taha Abushnene owns Tobacco King in neighboring Brooklyn Park. The ordinance change gave his business a bump.
I've seen some new faces, some customers, some people say, oh, I used to go to Brooklyn Center, but after the increase, I switched to come over here.
Abushnene estimates his sales of low-end cigars are up 15% or so. The Holiday gas station and convenience store chain also reports double-digit increases in cigar sales at one of its Brooklyn Park locations, while sales at its Brooklyn Center stores are slumping. The concerns from businesses have a familiar ring for Doug Blonkey. He directs the Public Health Law Center at St. Paul's William Mitchell College of Law. And Blonkey says retailers' concerns about tobacco regulations are often overblown.
You know, we heard this, of course, when we talked about smoking in restaurants and bars. And every time a community has taken on any kind of tobacco control measure,
Blonkey predicts that if St. Paul follows Brooklyn Center's lead on cigar regulations, other cities will too. And he'd like to see Minnesota adopt the policy statewide. Curtis Gilbert, Minnesota Public Radio News.
That's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.